Hello and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Great to be here. Good afternoon, Tim.
Thank you. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Hanover's and the surrounding Metro Richmond's thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. The conversation is lively and spontaneous. So pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we are thrilled to have Rennie Gower here with us. Rennie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Rennie.
Hi.
Well, it's a hot day out there. And as we were talking before we started here, it sounds like you have plans to go to some hot places.
So,
how's that for a segue?
That's a good segue.
How are you?
So I'm really excited to be going back to the Middle East in September for
You're the first
project.
One I've heard say that.
Really?
Excited to go back to the Middle East. But well, I understand what you're saying.
Right. So I have the opportunity to go to Dubai to a drawing conference. I'm going with some colleagues from the School of the Arts, Jorge Benitez and Susan Scholl.
Really?
And it's stemming from a project we did about a year and a half ago in Doha. And we met some people.
Where is that for people who don't know?
Doha is in Qatar.
Okay. And Qatar is?
Across the Arabian Sea from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And Dubai is just sort of up the coast a ways in the United America. Oh, God. In the UAE.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, got it.
It's just Dubai.
Yeah.
And so we met a woman who teaches at American University in Dubai, and she's part of the planning coordinator for this conference. And she invited us to come and recreate the project we began last year at the Tasmim conference.
At a what?
It was called Tasmim, and it's a biannual design conference that the University of the VCU Arts University community puts on.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, you have to fill me in because I have no idea what a drawing conference is. Do you, Hugh?
No. Tell us more. And is it in? Do you do that in Richmond, or are you doing that over in Dubai? Where is that?
The drawing conference is called Crossing the Line 2, and it's going to be looking at different ways that drawing impacts making art. And it would be, you know, technical stuff. It could be very conceptual thinking about drawing, and it will have speakers. Our component will incorporate an exhibition and a performance, as well as a workshop in paper cutting. And
because Jorge's work is he'll kill me, but is very representational, almost architectural in some ways.
It's architectural based on perspective, but mm-hmm. It's all invented architecture.
Yes.
And we're drawing correlations. Our project is called Geometric Alchemia, which is means a transliteration from one culture to another culture. We're using sacred geometry and perspective as the universal links between these two cultures, the Middle Eastern culture, and showing how it's traveled from the Middle East to the Mediterranean basin and then on throughout the whole world, and how indebted we are to a lot of things that started actually
really,
in the Middle East.
As opposed to the...
Well, the Renaissance took from the things that the geometers were doing and took it farther than the Islamic community was willing to take it.
Right.
So it transliterated or moved or morphed.
So it went from flatter images to more images with more perspective.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm interested because I had no idea. I thought I was living under this ignorant blanket that somehow the Greeks had developed this. And
well, they were very much tied to what the Greeks were doing. Mm-hmm. It's all connected.
Right.
And because they had restrictions for representing, you know, realistic images, because mm-hmm. it was, mm-hmm. you know, not part of their religious purview to be able to do that.
Well, when you say, like... any kind of, well, we're talking Middle East, so that's pretty broad. Can we narrow this down in terms of, are we talking about Muslim? Or are we talking what?
We're talking Islamic, basically.
Islamic, okay. And so their religion restricted them from representing...
Representational images, like
really?
People or...
Do you know
or,
why?
Well, they thought it only God could represent,
okay.
you know...
Right. Only God was a creator of an image like that.
Right, and then it was like taking the role
so
of God.
So what were they... drawing?
Well, they worked a lot with patterning.
So, basically, what was going on in maybe like a rug? Okay. So, when you would see all this different things, and there would be some representational things in there, but mostly it would be patterns and very beautiful tapestry type of work.
Yeah, I mean, the patterning was developed very symbolically as a universal language for different things based on the geometry and based on the universality that everything comes down to these basic archetypal forms of the circle, the square, the triangle. And so there are lots of, the further you get away from the very conservative Mecca areas, representational things do enter in, arabesque things, flooring things, and even some, you know, animal forms, but they rarely would represent figures.
Do you feel like you sort of found a home in that kind of?
I did. And, the first time I experienced it was a long time ago when I was in southern Spain and visited the Alhambra and where the Islamic Moors had migrated to. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had experienced it. And I thought, wow, it's very eccentric, but I also felt like I was completely at home in this very elaborate set of patterning. Mm-hmm. And the more I researched it, I've gotten pretty interested in sacred geometry and how it's
what
really
is that?
Very universal.
It's
looking at the world through geometry, through geometric forms, the circle, the square, the triangle, that everything is basically based on these beautiful proportions, the Fibonacci sequence, you know, this golden spiral, the golden rectangle, and that you will find that ratio in your body to the smallest thing you pick up on the seashore to out to the universe. It's all related in the same ratio. And so these were things that they recognized visually by looking at the world in their time period, and we've sort of forgotten it and gone down this road, you know, thinking about math just as a quantitative thing rather than as a visual thing.
As a visual thing.
That's very interesting. So let's tie that back around. Is this similar, the work that you're doing, your work in obviously, how does that tie to this? Are you working in a similar fashion? Or tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, I started working, I've always worked with patterning, but I had an opportunity to go to teach summer school in Scotland, and I was very interested in the Celtic interwoven knots, which have a lot of correlation to the Islamic patterns. And
is that by coincidence?
No, it's not by coincidence, because it's based on sacred geometry, and they all these migrations took place, and they're all very much interwound, just like the knots.
Scottish background means I'm really Islamic, isn't it?
Well, might.
Could be, right?
Could be.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, you're drinking from the same...
I would never make that connection.
But. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either, but, you know, there's lots of commonality.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why sacred geometry is considered universal. But so I started just sort of, it was a one-off experience that I had because I had to create a large piece for an exhibition at the end of this five-week period. And somehow I realized, well, I could cut it out of paper rather than drawing it. So I could make a large piece. I could be as complex as my other work normally is, but I could do it relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe that would be the end of it. But I brought it home and I showed it to a friend who got so excited about it. I thought, well, maybe there was something more to what I had done. And I started to explore what other artists were doing with paper as their primary medium. And it's phenomenal how many artists are working with cut paper.
Well, kind of like Matisse when he was
older?
Well,
Matisse would qualify.
Yeah.
But it's a huge range of things that they're doing. And the fact that it's hand cut was important to me. And so I curated an exhibition called Paper Cuts. And it has seven women artists in it, and the show has been traveling for 3 years. And
wow! And where is it now?
It's at Purdue University, about to open in Indiana. It's been 9 other venues prior to Purdue, and it's going to go to Chicago after that, and then to Northern Virginia after that. And my real hope is that it will end over in Qatar.
That's very interesting. So it's kind of been moving around. Has it been shown in Richmond?
It's not been shown in Richmond, unfortunately. Haven't been able to find the location for it.
So how big is it? Is it big?
It's a big show. It has 7 women artists in it. It's probably about 30 pieces. Most of them are multi-part installation-based works. It takes a pretty large footprint.
So is it literally I think you said circle, right? Square.
What sacred geometry?
Is
you know, you start with the circle, the square, the triangle, and then you graduate to the pentagon and the hexagon and the dodecahedron.
So it obviously can get very complicated.
It gets very complicated
because I'm trying
very
to
quickly.
Think with paper cutting. Tell me, is it possible for you to articulate that? Tell me about your paper cutting.
For the paper cutting, I look at things like the Celtic knotwork patterns. I look at the Islamic key patterns and different patterns that they use in their architecture.
Papers?
I'm working on white paper, sheets of white paper, and I'm working quite large, so they're about 7 feet tall and about 5 feet wide.
Is there a website, just interrupting, just as a point of order, I always like to, is there a website out that people could go and take a look at this that we could get out on air so folks would?
Sure. You can go to my website, which is simply my name, www.renigower, RENIGOWER.com. And then if you go to the link in the site that says works on paper, and then you click on the paper cuts.
Yeah, I just want to take a break here and say that we are talking with Renny Gower, who has over 30 years of professional experience in the fine arts. Her work has been showcased internationally in Qatar, or Qatar, or however you want to say that.
That's in the Middle East.
UAE, Australia, Italy, Peru, Korea, Israel, Belgium, England, Moldova, and Moscow. She has received numerous grants and awards, including, this one's wonderful, the 2014 College Arts Association Distinguished Teaching of Arts Award. And numerous others. Her work is represented in various collections, including the Library of Congress print collection, Pleasant Company Mattel, the American embassies in Lima, Peru, Osaka. Yes, interesting. Osaka, Japan, Media General, Capital One, and the Federal Reserve. She currently resides in Richmond and is a professor of painting and printmaking at Virginia Wealth Commonwealth. She currently resides in Virginia, where she is a professor in the painting and printmaking department at Virginia Commonwealth University. So, Renny Gower, thank you again for joining us today. And if you just tuned in, we're talking about, well, we have been talking primarily about geometry and how that applies to the visual arts as opposed to just quantitative mathematics. And it's sort of fascinating. And I guess what it's not a workshop, but it's a what is it that you're going to the Middle East for?
It's a conference and workshop exhibition.
Conference on drawing, which is sort of opens up your horizons right away.
And how long did you say you were going to be over there for the conference?
2 weeks.
Wonderful. That's a great opportunity to...
So partly in Dubai and partly in Doha mm-hmm. before I come home.
Which are really amazing places these days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in Doha, that's where the university center is?
We have a satellite... campus?
Yes, VCU.
The VCU Arts, School of the Arts.
Are you going to be teaching there at all?
I'll be doing the workshop
for
them in our painting and printmaking department on that campus.
Okay. All right. So when you travel and you go places like this, and you've been to Doha before, yes?
Yes.
Influence on your work?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Take hundreds of photographs, mm-hmm. reinterpret them into these patterns or stencils that I create. And then I use the stencils to trace out elaborate patterns on these large sheets of paper, mm-hmm. and then they're all hand cut. And then I also paint the backside of the paper a pretty intense color so that when it's actually installed, it floats slightly above the wall, like an inch or inch and a half.
Right.
And then the color from the reverse side of the paper reflects off the white wall and then mm-hmm. sort of floats back through the paper cutting.
Why?
So you sense,
why do you do that?
Because it gives it a much more sort of visual effect,
mm-hmm.
And it makes it look like it's hovering more in space.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
And the color takes on sort of an emotional
get this image
content.
Of those, yeah, sort of a rose. Very, I don't know why I thought of
yeah,
rose
it's amazing
red,
how
but I just, you know,
just with
could
color,
be any color
and richness, you can make things become dimensional. Which
right.
Are you
very
working with material?
I cast shadows as well. So.
Anymore? Are you working with materials? I mean, it's been a while since I've seen your work, actually.
Well, my paintings are all mixed media
uh-huh.
Pieces that are created out of all kinds of things, from paint on canvas to paint on aluminum screen, dyed cheesecloth, a product called Rug Hold, which is an open string grid, and all of these things I paint. And then
oh, that stuff that, really?
Yeah, you put on a rug so they won't slide.
Yeah.
And I paint all these things, and then I layer, I make them into strips, if you will, and then I relayer them into, you know, 6 by 6 foot paintings or 8 by 8 foot paintings of multiple layers.
Right. And as far as hanging them on the walls or hanging them away from the walls, you were, and I know this is ancient, it's almost embarrassing, but years ago you were using a, sort of a rack where there were lots of strands hanging down. So you've gotten away from that, and you're...
Not so much. I mean, some of the pieces are more dimensional than others, and the more dimensional it is, the more architectural the hanging device is. And some of them are actually freestanding.
So if someone refers to you as a sculptor...
Some people do. I don't really think like a sculptor, so I still think of them as paintings, but they are dimensional. The ones I'm working on right now derive their support from the wall, and they're a bit flatter. And so they still have as many layers, but there isn't as much air space between the layers, so they don't look like they're floating quite as much.
On those, when they're how much air space? Is it like a quarter of an inch, or is it more when you say airspace? Are they...
Well, on the dimensional ones, it could be anywhere from 4 to 6 inches between each layer. The ones that are flat on the wall, they're basically layers right on top of each other that are only attached at the top. And so then they float and, you know, separate from each other, but not very much.
So moving back to the Middle East, what do you think you're going to come away from with this workshop? Are there things that you've seen that are you can't wait to go see and talk about and think about? Or are you just going to take a bathing suit and hang out?
I don't think so. I think what's really interesting about it is my going as a Westerner.
Yes.
And like kind of reintroducing my notion of this use of sacred geometry and seeing how it actually fits with their notion of it. And so part of the workshop is done by Jorge Benitez, and he does this perspectival demonstration that we do with him together, where you start with one of my shapes, like a shape derived from an Islamic architectural screen. Well, it's a geometric shape, based on one we did last time was based on a six-pointed star, I think. And he shows the workshop participants how to flip it into three-dimensional space through perspective. And we all initially thought, because everything that they do with geometry is really flat, that wouldn't make
any
sense. They would struggle with it.
Yeah.
And they got it so fast.
Really?
And I'm sitting here struggling with it. But they got it. I mean, it was an instant sort of recognition of what Jorge was trying to show them. And so it was really pretty exciting.
Yeah. He's a very talented in terms of his abilities to draw representationally. That's really...
I was just looking at the website and the first group of pictures that come up there. Now, they don't look like they're on paper.
No. Those are paintings.
Those are really interesting looking. Now, is that recent work or that? And that's a little different from the paper dimensional math type work. But they're very, very cool. Can you tell us
about
those?
Well, those are the paintings, you know, that Tim remembers. And I work on that in that vein simultaneously with the paper cutting. I mean, I'm doing both all the time. And there's a lot of math in those pieces as well. And there's usually some motif that I've transferred from some ornamentation or cultural symbol, like, say, the windows of Notre Dame. And I'll take those motifs and embed them in the bottom, in the paintings as I'm making them, before I tear up the materials. So I'm creating large paintings that are approximately 6 by 6 feet. And, in the, you know, they're whole, they're solid. And I'll have one of these motifs embedded in it. And then when I feel like it's finished, I start tearing that large painting down into strips. And it's those kinds of strips that are then recombined into those mixed media pieces. And you see the pieces kind of pulled apart, but you still hopefully see the underlying structure of the internal
motif.
Isn't
that hard to start, I mean, maybe
to tear it up?
Yeah. No?
No.
No, you're good with
that. Because, I mean, the painting part is really fun, but it always feels like it's not quite enough.
Okay.
And so...
That work is very interesting and compelling to me, what you're doing with those. And I'm just looking at it on a small little smartphone. So I think on a...
take a look.
On the big screen, it would be exciting. You know, as we kind of move to the end of the segment. Did you have classes at this year? Were you teaching this year at VCU?
Yes.
I'm always asking, I'm always curious when I get the professors in, how were the kids this year and what were you seeing out of those? Did you like what you were seeing? And
it's just a tremendous privilege to teach at VCU. We have just a great pool of students, undergraduate and graduate. I'm just constantly amazed at how talented they are and how ambitious they are. And they come from everywhere, and they're just a joy to work with. I've been at VCU a long time, and I've seen a lot of changes, but the students have always been kind of like the shining star, I think, of our programs. And
yeah, well, that's how you
really
have to
like
feel.
And it's exciting, to have, VCU, one of the best art schools in the country, if not the best art school in the country, right here, ground zero, right in Richmond. You're working with the students, so it is very
exciting. I mean, sometimes you forget what you have until you go to another school and kind of visit as a visiting artist. And not that their programs, all programs are different, but when you come home, you really appreciate what you have here at home.
Right, right.
Okay, well, I think we're about out of time here.
Yes.
So, Rennie Gower, thank you very much for coming and sharing this information for you. Hop on an airplane and head off to the Middle East.
And have a great summer and
I
have
hear
fun.
Is a laid-back kind of place these days, so safe trip.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you, folks, for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring, hoping you have a great week. You are listening to WHAN 1430 AM and 102.9 FM.